sing by memory. Do your best today. We're starting out with a Christmas carol, which is called O Come All You Faithful. Hopefully some of you will know that. But I encourage you to sing, worship the Lord with us. The Bible says that God inhabits the praise of His people. And the reason we start out our service with worship is because this is what ushers in the presence of God into our service. As we worship Him, His presence shows up in our midst. Amen? So say this. Say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad. Say, I come to give God praise, and I'm going to praise Him with all that is within me in the name of Jesus. Come on, put your hands together. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Give Him a big hand of praise. Let's worship Him. Let's sing together. Amen.
raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is my melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Guys, sing along. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee.
Yeah.
Come on, church, give him praise today. Give the Lord some praise today. We raise a hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together and give God praise today. Give him praise today. Lift him up today. You know, good morning, everybody. If you didn't know this, unfortunately, we had a little technical problem. One of our adapters went out on our computer for our screen, so we got another, an older computer that doesn't have everything on there, doesn't have the words for the songs. So we're going old school today. Now, here's the thing. You don't need words on a screen to give God praise. You don't even need music to give God praise. All you need is your voice. And do you know that, you know, it's amazing to me. You see, the Rolling Stones, anyone ever heard of the Rolling Stones? Well, they're not here today, but they did a big concert in Cuba, and they had 1 million people at the concert. And you know what was amazing to me? All these Spanish-speaking people knew every word of every song, and 1 million people, it was unbelievable, singing these songs in English. They know all the words. Now, if Rolling Stone fans can learn songs in another language, you and I can give God praise no matter what. Amen. That's what I'm trying to encourage you today, is that worshiping God is a choice. I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, I will bless His holy name. Everybody lift your hands like this. Everybody, everybody. Everybody, all right, you're in position. You're in position. You see, you can lift your hands. They can lift their hands, Leslie. They can do it. I want you to give God praise. Listen, man, let's give the devil a black eye. If he tries to mess with our service, we're going to sing louder than before. We're going to give God praise more than what we would have done before. I will bless the Lord. Say, I will bless the Lord. Say, I will give him praise. Say, with all that is within me, in the name of Jesus. And if you don't know the words, listen. If you don't know the words, sing out in tongues. Sing in tongues. Don't let anything stop you. Fortunately, we have some simple songs today. These songs are pretty simple. We're going to sing Worthy. It doesn't have a lot of words. Listen, make an effort today. Listen to the words. Give God praise. When we hit that chorus, worthy are you. Let's sing with all that we've got. Lord, we came here today to give you praise. And nothing and nobody is going to stop us from lifting up the name of Jesus. The name that is above every name. Lord, you are worthy. And we're going to praise you today. We're going to worship you today. We're going to make your name famous today. And everybody said amen. Let's go, girls. Let's go, Leslie. Let's sing, man. He is worthy. Lord, you are worthy today.
You can always turn around, too.
Yes.
It was my cross you bore so I could live in the freedom you died for. And Now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name, Lord.
And now my shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. And your grace goes on and on. And I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Exalt him, be exalted.
Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in heaven as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in heaven as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Exalt.
sing it again. Worthy is your name. One more time.
Worthy is your name.
Come on, sing it out with us. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise.
You deserve the praise.
Worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus.
You deserve the praise.
You deserve the praise.
Worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name,
Jesus.
Worthy is your name.
You deserve the praise.
Tell him today, worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name.
Deserve all the praise. There's nobody like you, Lord. You are so good. You are so merciful. You are so compassionate. Lord, we lift you up. We lift up the name of Jesus. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, give him a big hand of praise today. Put your hands together and give him praise. Give him a shout today. Come on. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. We exalt you. We magnify your holy name. You are worthy of all praise. Worthy is your name. You deserve all praise. Let's sing that last song. Jesus, my one, my all. Jesus, it's all about you. You are everything, Lord. You are my one and my all. We worship you today.
Just one touch.
Yes, Lord.
And everything changes.
Everything changes.
With one word. The world rearranges. The world rearranges. No. This one life. Death was defeated. Death was defeated. And this one love.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Has paid for my freedom. Jesus.
other one.
There's no one like, there's no one like, and no one like you, Lord. No other God, no one above. You're all I want, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, no other one, no one above. You're all I want, Jesus. Can you say that with me? Come on, say that. Say no other hope, no other love. Say my one, my all, Jesus. Say it with me. Say no other God. There's no one above. Say you are all I want, Jesus. Shout it out, Jesus. Shout it out again, Jesus. One more time, Jesus. Give him a big praise today, Jesus. Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, no other God.
No other.
There's no other God. There's no one above.
You're
all I want. All I want, Jesus.
God, we just proved we can do it without words, right? Didn't the worship team do an awesome job this morning? So beautiful. But your voice is coming up. That the psalmist said, it's the fruit of my lips giving thanks. Amen. Welcome to Ascend Church. So good to see you this morning. We're going to take 60 seconds. Just take a moment and greet somebody around you. Thank you. Welcome to church this morning. You're looking good. We've got such wonderful people in this church, such friendly people. I love it. I love just seeing you all and seeing you greet one another. And welcome to those that are watching online. We're glad you're taking part in the service with us today. Even some of our members, when they can't be here, people text us and say for whatever reason they can't be here, you can be part of the service. We welcome you to join in everything that we're doing today, but we're glad to be in church, aren't we? And we're kind of getting in it's the 1st of December, so Thanksgiving's over, right? Have you done with all your turkey leftovers? That's today, right? Today, the final. Well, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, celebrating and giving thanks for everything. It's a wonderful holiday, but But now we're heading into December, and we decided that rather than have Christmas Eve service where you sing your carols and you celebrate Christmas, we're going to start from the 1st of December, and we're going to just enjoy the whole month. How about that? Right? That's why we started out with a carol today. We're going to do one every week and just enjoy it. I love the season. It's a beautiful season. But welcome to church. I see a number of new people today, and we're so glad that you're here. We see some faces that are people who've been coming recently. We're glad you are here today. And what we like to do is we like to give a visitor pack to anyone who's here for the first time so that they just have something more from our church. So if you are here for the first time today, our ushers would like to just hand that to you. Would you mind just waving your hand if you're first time here today? Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up. Thanks, Chris. There you go. Keep it up until they see you. Awesome. Awesome. I know sometimes visitors don't feel comfortable because they don't know where we're going from there. They put their hand up and identify themselves. What are you going to do next? All we want to do is just give you a welcome. Thank you for being here. In that visitor packs, a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there hoping it'll be an encouragement, a blessing, a faith-building message for you. And there's a card that says guest. We ask you to just take a moment and fill that out. All we want to do is be able to contact you. Pastor loves to do that and just find out how you enjoyed the service, if we can be a blessing in any way to you. So thank you for joining us today. I know there's a lot of places you could be, but I think you made a good choice. And I pray you get everything you need from this service. You know, what we do, our four main values of our church is, first of all, we want to help you to know God. And in fact, last week's message was called Know God. And if you didn't listen to that or watch it, do yourself a favor, go onto our app or onto the website and watch that, because it was it was phenomenal. It was just packed full from the Word of God about us growing in our knowledge of God. That's what we want. But secondly, we want to help you to find freedom in every area of your life. Thirdly, to discover your purpose. And fourth, to make a difference with your life. Amen. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to have the Word of God be taught to us, so that it builds us up, helps us know God better, and find freedom in every area of our life, right? And welcome those. When we live screen on our app, we live screen on Facebook, on social media. So if you want to go ahead and share that, sometimes we have people in our family in England, we have friends in Switzerland, we have people in various places that couldn't be here today, but when we share that link, they're able to watch it, and they're prompted to be a part of the service as well. So go ahead if you'd like to and share that. But thanks. Good?
I believe so.
And we want to thank all those guys who've been running around like chickens with their head cut off this morning, trying to get all our volunteers that work so hard in that media department. Give them a big
hand
today.
Yes.
It's no joke when things go wrong, right?
Yeah, we thank all of our servant leaders who serve and volunteer in God's house. Thank you so much to our media and our kids' church and our ushers and our greeters and our worship team and everyone who serves. We so appreciate it. We had a little technical problem today. It's amazing what one little adapter can do. One little adapter on the computer, which we were not able to control the screen. And so what happened is they got out an old computer. We were able to get the screen working, but we don't have all the graphics that we would normally have. So today we're going to kind of be old school. I remember the days before we even had computers. I remember my first computer. It was 20 megabytes. Now one picture is 20 megabytes. And it was 20 megabytes, and all it could do, it had a little ball, and you played this game. Ping, and you push the ball. Ping, and you push the ball. Ping, and you... That was the first computer. It was so exciting. I remember, how many remember before we had computers? Anybody? I remember that. Well, we're going to go back old school before they had computers, and I'm not going to be able to display all the scriptures as I usually do. So, but thank God you've got that handout. So you've got the scriptures written down on the handout when you came in, all the scriptures written down. So I'm going to ask you to follow really carefully today. At the end of the service, Dan, we're going to want to show, can we show the Christmas video at the end? let me know. Somehow, let me know. Will we be able to do? We're going to try. We're going to try at the end of the service. All right. Well, tell your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them, I'm glad you're here today. And I'm glad I'm here today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you for your anointing that removes every burden, that destroys every yoke. I thank you for removing burdens off of people. I thank you for destroying yokes in people's life. I thank you for bringing healing. I thank you for bringing freedom. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to us by your word and guiding us today. I thank you that faith will rise up big in every heart and all doubt, all unbelief will be removed. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we give you all the praise for everything that is said and done today in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen and amen. Well, I want to speak to you this morning about call it in. Say, call it in. That's what God does. Do you know that? God calls things in to being. The scripture says in Romans chapter 4 in verse 17, it says, that's what the scripture means when it says, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our example and father. For God, in God's presence, he believed that God can raise the dead and call into being things that don't even exist yet. In Romans 4, verse 17, it tells us that God calls into being things that do not even exist yet. How many of you know that's how God created this world? Isn't that right? The Bible says that God said, let there be light, and light came. God said, let there be grass, and let there be trees, and let there be vegetation, and it was so. Let there be animals, and abundance of fish in the sea, and birds in the air, and it was so. When God calls it, it happens. Isn't that right? The Bible says that God called Abram the father of many nations when Abram didn't have any children. And Abram was already 90 years old, and his wife Sarah was unable to have children. She was infertile. She was barren. She couldn't have children. And yet God said, you are the father of many nations. So Abraham had God's promise. He had God's word. Because the first time God told him that, Abraham was 75. The first time God appeared to Abraham and said, I've made you the father of many nations, he was 75 years old. But you see, Abram didn't call it in for 24 years. When Abram was 99, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And the name Abraham literally means the father of a multitude. You see, in the Hebrew and even in any language, your name has a meaning. And the name Abraham, literally translated, means father of many nations or father of a multitude. So God changed his name when he was 99. He says, your name's no longer is your name Abram, which means eternal father. Now your name is Abraham, which means father of many nations. So God was helping Abraham to call in the promise that he had given him by changing his name, because every time Abraham said his name, he was saying, I'm the father of many nations. I'm the father of a multitude. Every time he introduced himself, said, hey, hi, my name's Abraham, what he was saying is, hi, nice to meet you. I'm the father of a multitude. Amen. Are you with me? And the Bible says in Genesis 17, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, God appeared to him and told him, I'm changing your name. It is no longer Abram, but it is now Abraham, father of nations. For that is what you will be. I have declared it. I have declared it. The New King James says, I have made you a father of many nations. So every time Abraham said his name, he was calling in God's promise. Now here's the point. Abraham had God's promise for 24 years. And for 24 years, he believed God's promise, but it never came to pass. It was only when he started calling it in. It was only when he started saying, I'm the father of many nations. My name is Abraham. That's when it happened. In fact, it happened in 3 months. If you look at Genesis 21, it says the Lord kept his word, and he did for Sarah exactly what he promised. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. It says in verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. How old was Abraham when Isaac was born? How old was Abraham when God changed his name? No. He was 75 when God first appeared to him. But he was 99 when God appeared and changed his name. Because God gave Abraham the promise when he was 75. But Abraham never called in that promise for 24 years. And so God comes and changes his name because he's helping Abraham to call in the promise. From the time God changes his name at 99, when he's 100, Sarah gives birth. How long is a woman pregnant for? 9 months. How old was Abraham when God changed his name? 99. How old was Abraham when Sarah gave birth? 100. And a baby's 9 months. So how long did it take for Sarah to get pregnant from the time that Abraham started saying, I'm Abraham, I'm the father of many nations? How long did it take? There you go. It took 3 months. I don't want to confuse you here, but it took 3 months. Here's my point. Abraham had the promise for 24 years, and nothing happened. Do you know how many Christians believe the word of God, but it's not becoming a reality in their life? Because they've never called it in. Once Abraham started saying, I am the father of many nations, I am Abraham, 3 months later, the promise came to pass. Now listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says this. We have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures. When it says, first I believed, and then I spoke in faith. So we also believe, and then we speak in faith. Say, I've got the same spirit of faith. Who do you have the same spirit of faith as? As God. And as Abraham. Abraham had the same spirit of faith as God. You've got the same spirit of faith that God has. God says, light be, and light came. You've got the same spirit of faith that Abraham had. Abraham said, I am Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. And he became the father of many nations. Listen, we too have to call God's promises into being. That's what I'm talking about, calling it in. It's not enough just to hope that it happens. It's not enough, you know, just to believe that a dream's going to come to pass. It's not enough just to think positive and the situation's going to turn around. No, you've got to call it in because words give life to your faith. When you're sick, you need to call in healing. Father, I thank you that you're restoring health back to me. I thank you that by your stripes, I was healed. Are you hearing me today, family? That's not just quoting scriptures. That's calling in health. If you're struggling in your finances, you need to call in abundance. Father, I thank you that I'm blessed. I thank you that I'm prosperous. I thank you that you are supplying all of my needs according to your riches in glory. That's calling in provision. Thank you that the windows of heaven are open above me. Thank you that you're pouring blessings upon me, Lord. Thank you that you are a more than enough kind of God. Amen. You just called in provision. You just called in promotion, opportunity, favor. You just called it in. Maybe you're single and you want to meet somebody. It's fine to pray about it and it's fine to believe, but you need to call in that spouse. Father, I thank you that you've got someone awesome coming my way. Thank you, Lord. You've got to call in divine connections and you can be specific. You can say, Lord, I thank you. I call in someone who's loving, someone who's kind, someone who's godly, someone who's good looking, someone who's well off, someone who's fun. Call in that partner. See, as long as you can back it up with scripture, you can call it in. Someone said, well, Steve, I can't just say things and it's going to happen. Listen, it's already happening. You are in part today. You are who you are because of what you've been saying about yourself your whole life long, because of what you've been calling in. If you say, well, you know, I'll never get out of debt. My business is so slow. You just called in lack and struggle. If you say, I'll never meet the right person, I haven't had a date in years, you just called in loneliness. You've got to pay attention to what you're calling in. The Bible tells us, family, in Proverbs 18, verse 20, it says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you know that your words are producing fruit in your life? Do you know that you are eating the fruits of your words? Have you ever heard that term, you're going to eat your words? Have you ever heard that? You're going to eat your words. Do you know the Bible says you're going to eat the fruit of your words? The contemporary English version says you will eat everything you say. The contemporary English version says you will eat everything you say. The New Living Bible says you're going to reap the consequence. In other words, your words have consequences. You are going to eat the fruit of your words. Whatever you constantly talk about, that's what you are inviting into your life. Listen, don't invite defeat. Don't invite lack. Don't invite sickness. If you're struggling with an addiction, don't say one more time, I'll never break this addiction. I've had it so long, Pastor Steve. No, you need to start calling in freedom all through the day. Declare, I am free. I am clean. I am whole. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You see, you can't call in defeat and have victory in your life. You can't call in lack and have abundance in your life. You've got to start calling in what you want, not what you have. In Joel 3 verse 10, the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. It doesn't say, let the weak say, I'm so weak. Oh, I'm feeling weaker every day. No, why? Because that's calling in more weakness. The Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. You've got to call in strength. You've got to call in vitality. You've got to call in passion. Don't go around saying, oh, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I never have any energy. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just always so tired. No, all that's doing is making it worse. You're calling in more of what you don't want. You've got to turn it around, man. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you read the Passion Translation, it says, be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in you and through you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You've got to say, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm supernaturally infused with strength through my union with Jesus. I stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing through me. I'm full of energy. I will run and not be weary. I will walk and not faint. You've got to call it in. Are you hearing me today? Don't say what you feel. Say what God says about you. The biggest problem is we say what we feel instead of saying what God says about us. Well, you know, look in the mirror. I look so old. I'm getting so wrinkled. I'm so out of shape. It's all downhill from here. No, that's calling in more oldness, more wrinkles, more aches, more pains. That's going to age you before your time. Every day you need to say, I'm young. I'm energetic. I'm sharp. My youth is being renewed like the eagles, because that's what God says about you. In Psalm 103, verse 5, the Bible says, he fills my life with good things. Say that. Say, thank you, Lord. You fill my life with good things. It says, my youth is renewed like the eagle. Say, my youth is renewed like the eagle. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day. Amen. Listen, man, have you seen that new face app on social media that ages you, shows you what you look like in 30 years' time? Have you seen that face app? There's this face app you can get where it gives you a picture of what you look like in 30 years. Listen, I don't know about you. I don't want to age myself. I'm calling in youth. I'm calling in lots of hair. I'm calling in good looks, good memory, plenty of energy, strong muscles. I'm calling it in. My youth is being renewed. Amen. What are you calling in? Don't go around talking about how it's not going to work out and how bad the medical report is and how your children, you know, they're not making good decisions. No, listen, let me. It's one thing to tell people so they can agree with you in prayer, but you can't keep talking about the problem constantly. A lot of people don't realize it, but they're calling in defeat. They're calling in more trouble. Often we cancel out our prayers with our own words. We will eat the fruit of our words. Instead of talking about how bad your kids are, rather start saying, Father, I want to thank you that it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to thank you, my children are mighty in the land. My children will fulfill God's destiny for their life. My children make choices that honor God. My children have great friends. They are kind, respected. They are focused. Rather declare that. Because let me tell you, you can pray for victory all day long, but if you're calling in defeat, it's going to cancel out your prayers. A lot of time we're praying for one thing, but we're calling in something else. Are you with me? Well, you know, Steve, my coworkers, they don't like me. I don't know why. I don't have a very good personality. No one seems to want to be around me. No, zip that up. You've been made in the image of Almighty God. God calls you a masterpiece. You have something to offer that nobody else has. But every time you discount yourself, you are making yourself unattractive and unfriendly. You're calling in insecurity. Why don't you start saying, I am well-liked. People love to be around me. I've got a great personality. God's favor is on my life. Everywhere I go, I have favor. People just want to bless me. People just, why did you declare that? Because when you speak that out, it not only allows it to come to pass, but it gets down on the inside in your heart. You can't call in negative things about yourself and feel good about who you are. You know, amen. Joel Osteen, I love Joel Osteen. I think he's such a blessing. And he talks about when he first took over from his dad back in 1999, you know, all of a sudden, he never preached before in his life. All of a sudden, he's on television. And his first thought, he thought to himself, no one's going to listen to me. He was very insecure, but he had learned not to speak out the negative. He'd learned that in his life. You can think it, but don't give life to it by saying it. Don't call it in. So instead of verbalizing that, he would declare, he would say, Father, Lord, I want to thank you that when people turn on the TV and see me, they can't turn me off. I want to thank you that people like me, people are drawn to me, that people are being helped by me. He said it every morning for the last 20 years. And he says now practically every time that he goes out anywhere, someone will stop him. And someone will say to him, Joel, I don't really like TV preachers. I'm not a religious person, but I was flipping through the channels and I turned you on and I couldn't turn you off. You know why that is? Because he called it in. You've got to call in favor, call in influence, call in your destiny, call in abundance, call in healing, call in freedom in the name of Jesus. You see, with our words, we can either bless our future or we can curse our future. In James chapter 3, it's an amazing passage here in James 3. I'm going to read like 8 verses from verse 2. It says, we all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. It goes on, it says, horses have bits and bridles in their mouth, so they can control and guard their large body. And the same with mighty ships, even though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. It's saying a horse can be directed by a bridle, a bit in its mouth, and a ship can be directed by a rudder. It says, and so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how small a flame can set a huge forest ablaze. The Bible is likening, it's comparing your tongue to the bit in a horse's mouth or the rudder of a ship. In other words, your tongue can guide and direct the course of your life. It says, and so the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness, and it is the most dangerous part of our human body. It corrupts the entire body. It's a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn through the course of human existence. It says, every wild animal on earth, including birds and creeping things, and creatures of the sea and land, they've all been overpowered and they've all been tamed by humans. It says, but the tongue is not able to be tamed. It is a fickle, unrestrained evil that spews out words of toxic poison. And verse 10, it says, we use our tongue to bless God, our Father. And then we turn around and we use our tongue to curse a person who was made in the very image of God. The Bible says you can bless with your tongue and you can curse with your tongue. It says, out of the same mouth we pour out words of blessing 1 minute and curses the next. My brothers and sisters, this should never be. That's what it's saying. The Bible says you can either bless with your words or you can curse with your words. You can curse your future or you can bless your future. I don't know about you, but I want to speak blessing to my future. I want to call in what God says about me. I declare that we are surrounded by the favor of God. I declare that whatever we touch, it will prosper and succeed. I declare that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because that's what God says about you. I'm going to declare what God says, and I'm going to call in what God says about me. How about you? Don't go around saying, oh, I'll never live in a nice neighborhood. I'll never have a nice house. No, call in a nice house. Father, I thank you that you have a house already picked out for me. I thank you, Lord. You said, because I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart. So I want to thank you that my new house is on the way. Do you know you can call that in? That's not just wishful thinking. That's releasing your faith. In your business, you need to call in customers. Call in opportunities. James chapter 4 verse 2 says you do not have because you do not ask God. Do you know you could also say it this way? You do not have because you don't call it, because you call not. You don't have because you call not, you don't call it in. Are there things maybe that you are not receiving because you're not calling them in? Promises that God has given to you. I'm not saying, you know, get out of balance here and call in 10 houses, 5 speedboats, and 7 wives. No, but what do you need to accomplish the dream God put in your heart? Because it should be, your dream should be bigger than what you can do on your own. If you can do it without calling anything in, then your dream's not big enough. Your dream should be big enough that you're going to need God's help for it to come to pass. Maybe you need to call in that scholarship, that school you want to go to. Call it in. Call in that promotion that you've worked for. Call in that business that you've been dreaming about. Call in that orphanage that you want to build. We called in this building. I don't know if any of you can remember this, but when we were back on Center Street, when we were back on our building in Center Street, I remember, can any of you remember when we were on Center Street, I said, we're going to get a better building and in a better location, and it's going to be half the mortgage. Can anyone remember me? We've got it recorded. I said, we're going to get a better building and a better location, and it's going to be half the mortgage. Do you know that's exactly what happened? We got a phone call supernaturally out the blue from Joe Siegel. He said, I saw you on TV. I've got a building I want to sell you. And long story short, we ended up right here in a better location on Indian Town Road in a better building, and our mortgage is half the payment that we were paying before. We called it in the name of Jesus. Come on, give God some praise today. You know, sometimes God will bring things across your path that are far beyond anything that you could have ever imagined, family. He can do abundantly more beyond what you can even ask, think, or imagine. But here's the key. The key is, do not cancel out the greatness of God's favor by having a limited vision and negative words. Don't cancel out God's favor in your life. Well, Pastor Steve, I just don't see how it could happen. We don't have the finances. I don't know the right people. I don't have the training. Listen, you may not, but God does. God knows the right people. Just do your part and call it in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you're taking me where I couldn't go on my own. I thank you that you're opening doors that nobody can shut. I thank you that good breaks are chasing me down. The right people are headed my way. Blessings are coming after me in the name of, call it in Jesus' name. What you need may be big, but I'm so glad that we serve a big God. He wouldn't have put that dream down in your heart, family, if he couldn't bring it to pass. Maybe he's just waiting on you to call it in, to use your words to release your faith. Amen. When David faced Goliath, in the natural, he didn't have a chance. I mean, David was a teenager. He was 17 years old, and he was small in stature. He had no formal training. He had no military experience. All he knew was how to take care of sheep. And Goliath was the Philistine champion. He was their most skilled warrior. He was almost twice David's size. He had a full set of armor that his armor weighed 125 pounds. His armor weighed almost as much as David. The arrowhead on his spear weighed 15 pounds. Just the arrowhead on his spear. David had no armor. All he had was a sling, faith, and the favor of God. But here's the key. Having faith and favor is not enough. You've got to activate it. You've got to call it in. Because when David heard Goliath taunting the Israelites, something rose up on the inside of David, and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? How dare he defy the armies of the living God? Right there, God put that dream in David to defeat Goliath. He went and he told King Saul, he said, I'll fight Goliath. You would think Saul would be excited. He finally had someone to step up. But Saul said to him in 1 Samuel 17, verse 33, listen what Saul said. He said, David, don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're a boy. He's been a man of war since his youth. David, don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can win. Let me tell you, it was hard enough for David to get his courage up. But now the people that should have been believing in him, they did just the opposite. Do you know sometimes the reason that people are not for you, the reason that people do not encourage you, is because God didn't put the dream in their heart. God put the dream in your heart. He put it in you. They can't hear what you hear. They can't feel what you feel. And they may love you. They may think they're doing you a favor. They think they're trying to protect you. But let me tell you, when God has spoken something to you, there is a faith and there is an anointing of favor and there is an empowerment that will cause it to come to pass. David called it in. David looked Goliath right in the eyes. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45, David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And he said, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. All the assembly will know the Lord doesn't save with sword and with spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Notice, David, there was no ifs, ands, and buts. He didn't say, well, maybe, I'm sure hoping, or I'm praying God will deliver you. He said, the Lord will deliver you. I will defeat you. This is what's going to happen. What was David doing? He's calling in victory. He's calling in favor. He reached down and he picked up a smooth stone. He flung it in his sling and he hit Goliath right between the eyes, knocked him unconscious. David went over, took Goliath's own sword, finished him off, cut off his head. Let me tell you, when you face challenges, it's important what you're saying. David could have looked at Goliath. He could have said, King Saul was right. What was I thinking? There's no way I can defeat him. Look at the size of him. He's almost 10 feet tall. I'm like 5'8". There's no way. I'm sure those thoughts came to his mind. But David understood this principle, that what he spoke out was what he was calling in. He knew if he spoke the negative, he'd be calling in defeat and limitations and weakness. That's why he stayed on the offensive. He said, I will defeat you. The battle is the Lord's. Let me tell you, when you face an illness, you need to declare, I will defeat this cancer. I will live and not die. That's what David wrote that in Psalm 118, verse 17. He said, I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. You see, when the doctor tells you you've got cancer and it's terminal, you say, I will not die. I will live and tell what the Lord has done. So you've got to call in that healing. It doesn't say, let the weak think that I'm strong. Well, Steve, I believe I'm healed. That's good. But believing alone is not enough. You've got to take the next step. You've got to declare, I am healed in the name of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Maybe you're facing a situation like David where the odds are against you. You're facing a giant. It's easy to talk about how bad it is. But more than ever, that's when you need to be calling in victory, calling in breakthroughs, calling in suddenlies. Can you say amen, somebody? Father, you said when darkness overtakes the righteous, light will come bursting in. I know, Lord, one touch of your favor can suddenly turn this around. So I call my business blessed. I call myself free from this addiction. I call my children serving God. I call in abundance. I call in healing. I call in breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. Listen, man, don't complain about not having it. Start calling it in. Start declaring what God says about you. Amen. Preacher that I used to listen to quite a lot, Leroy Thompson, Pastor Leroy Thompson down in Louisiana, I think. And he told me, I heard him tell, he was in the grocery store and he was standing in line one day, and the lady in front of him, I guess, you know, they got chatting and she was putting her groceries down and she said, man, oh man, money sure goes, doesn't it? Money sure goes. Money sure goes, man. Have you ever said that? Whew, man, money sure goes. And he was standing there and the Lord said to him, no, don't say that. Don't say money goes, say money comes. Instead of saying money goes, he started saying, money comes to me. Money comes to me. Money comes. And he wrote a whole book. And he had a whole thing about money comes. How many of you know, instead of saying money goes, rather declare money comes. That's what I do. Money comes to me. Money comes to this church. Money's filling. We've got so much money, we don't know what to do with it. Money comes in. I'm calling it in. I'm not going to call in lack. I'm going to call in abundance. How about you? Well, Steve, what if I call and it doesn't come? Then keep on calling. What do you do if you call your dog? Lucy, Lucy, and she don't come. You keep on calling, man. Lucy, you walk through the neighborhood. Lucy, Lucy, you keep on calling. Joel Osteen says when his mother, Dodie, was diagnosed with cancer back, I think it was in 1983, she was diagnosed with terminal cancer. She was given less than 2 months to live. He said, do you know how many times I heard her say, I'm healed from this cancer. I thank you, Lord, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Do you know how many times he heard her say that? Thousands of times. Thousands of times. He said the first when she started saying it, it seemed just the opposite. He said, if you looked at her, you'd think you're not healed. You don't look well. But when you keep calling in healing, and you keep calling in freedom, and you keep calling in abundance, what you're calling in is on the way, family. It might not have happened yet, but there will be a time. There will come a time when you will see what you have been saying. Because almost 40 years later, Pastor Dodie is still totally healed. She's in her 80s now. Listen, don't be discouraged by what is not changing. Let that challenge you to call it in even stronger. Call it in even more. God is faithful to what he promised. What you're calling in, what he's spoken over you, rest assured, it's on the way. Don't go the next 20 years calling in the negative. Put your faith out there, family. Call in greatness. Call in new levels. Call in your dreams. Call in your gifts. I mean, have any of you seen that movie, Field of Dreams? You know the line from that movie? If you build it, they will come. Well, God is saying, if you'll call it, it'll come. If you'll call it, it'll come. If you'll call yourself blessed, blessings will come. If you call yourself healed, healing will come. If you call yourself free, freedom will come. If you call your children fulfilling their destinies will come. In the name of Jesus, call it in. In Numbers chapter 13, we have the story where Moses sent 12 spies to go spy out the promised land. And after 40 days, they came back. And 10 of them said to Moses, they told Moses what an amazing land it was. Oh, it was more than they ever imagined. The clusters of grapes were so large, it took 2 people to carry them. They finally made it next door to the land flowing with milk and honey. A land flowing with amazing resources. And God had already told them that he had given them the land. And they just said, go in and take possession. I've already given it to you. But those 10 spies, they said, oh, it's a wonderful land. But, in Numbers 13:28, they said, but the people living there are powerful. Their towns are large and fortified. And we saw the giants there, the descendants of Anak. They said, we can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. And they spread this bad report among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and we explored, it will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw there were huge. In fact, they said, next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. We felt like grasshoppers next to them. They felt weak. But listen, they felt weak. But instead of calling themselves strong, they called themselves weak. God said they could do it. God said, I've given you the land. God said that he would give them the victory. But instead of agreeing with God and instead of believing what God said, they called themselves defeated. And listen what God said to them. In Numbers 14:28, the Lord spoke to them. He said, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things that I heard you say. I'm going to do just what you said. You will drop dead in this wilderness because you complained against me. Every one of you 20 years and older will die in the wilderness. Do you know that? Do you know they got exactly what they called in? They said that they couldn't take the land. They said that they would die in the wilderness. And do you know that they died walking around the wilderness for 40 years? Let me tell you, God can call you one thing, but if you call yourself something different, you can override what God said about you. Not because you're so powerful, but because God works where there is faith. God calls you blessed. But if you go around saying, I'm not blessed, I can't get ahead, I never get any good breaks, then you, what you're calling in, will override what God has promised you. God said you've been fearfully and wonderfully made. But if you say, oh, I'm not very talented, I'm not as smart as my sister, I'm not very confident, do you know that what you're calling in will override what God has spoken? If you are going to become who God created you to be, you've got to get in agreement with Him. Don't cancel out the amazing plan God has for your life by calling in the wrong things. No, like the Israelites, there are blessings and there are good breaks and there is healing and there is freedom that God has already promised to give you. He's already provided it. He didn't say if you're strong enough or if you know the right people or if you don't have any opposition. No, none of that is a condition for what God has promised. He's going to give you the land. He's going to give you the spouse. He's going to give you the money. He's going to give you the healing. He's going to give you the freedom, family. He's going to give you that house you've been believing for. It may seem impossible. You can't do it on your own. Thank God you're not on your own. Don't make the mistake that the Israelites did and start talking about how it's not going to work out and how big the problem is. And I don't know, I've reached my limits and I've gone as far in my career as I can and I'm never going to get well. I'm never going to break this addiction. No, that's calling in defeat. That's calling in limitations. If it's going to happen, family, you've got to call in what God promised. Call in victory. Call in healing. Call in abundance. Why don't you call in that baby that you've been believing for? Father, you said in your word in Deuteronomy 28 verse 4, the fruit of your womb will be blessed. Thank you that the fruit of my womb is blessed. You said in Psalm 113 verse 9 that He gives children to the childless wife so she can become a happy mother. Thank you, Lord, for giving me children. Why don't you agree with what God said and call in what God said? Father, thank you that the baby with my name on it is coming in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen, somebody? Let me tell you, that's how you make it into your promised land. That's how you make it into your promised land. These spies, they said we felt like grasshoppers compared to them. Imagine what God must have thought. God had delivered them out of slavery. God had parted the Red Sea. God had brought water out of the rock. God told them, I've given you the land. All you got to do is go take possession. Yet they are saying, we're just grasshoppers. We just feel like grasshoppers. They didn't realize they're calling in fear. Before long, they had this grasshopper mentality. No wonder they felt weak and intimidated because they called it in. And you may have big obstacles standing in your path. Listen, you may have dreams that seem impossible. You could live, you know, intimidated and you could shrink back. But I encourage you to put your shoulders back, hold your head up high. Remember, you're a child of the Most High God. Dare to call in what He says about you, family. Father, I thank you. I'm a victor. I'm not a victim. I thank you. You always caused me to triumph. I thank you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, this obstacle may be big, but I know greater is He who is in me than he that is in the world. If God is for me, then who can be against me? Thank you, Lord. You're fighting my battles. I'm coming into my promised land in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, there were two out of the 12 spies and that who had a different spirit, and that was Joshua and Caleb. They had a different report. When the other 10 spies said, we can't do it, you know what Joshua and Caleb said in Numbers 13, verse 30? Caleb reassured the people as they stood before Moses. He said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to conquer it. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, the Bible says they ripped their clothing and they said, it is a wonderful country that is up ahead of us. And the Lord loves us and He will bring us safely into the land and He will give it to us. It is a fertile land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are but bread for us to eat. The Lord is with us. He has removed His protection from them. Do not be afraid of them. Notice, Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. The Lord is with us. God is fighting for us. We can take the land. And you know what's interesting to me is that Joshua and Caleb were the only ones out of those 2 million Israelite people that ever made it into the promised land. 40 years later, when Caleb was 80 years old, he was right out at the front as they marched in to take the first city of Jericho. And Joshua was leading the way. They waited 40 years. They were the only two that made it in the promised land because they were the only two that called it in. All the others died in the wilderness. It is not a coincidence that Joshua and Caleb were the only two that called in the victory, called in what God had promised. Are there promised lands that you are not entering, promises that you are not receiving because you're calling in defeat instead of calling in victory? You're talking about how it's not going to work out and what you don't have. It's time to change what you're calling in. You are going to eat the fruit of your words. Can you say amen, somebody? Isaiah 57 verse 19, the Bible says, I create the fruit of the lips. God says, I create the fruit of the lips. I'm asking you today to be a Joshua. I'm asking you to be a Caleb. Call in what God says about you. Let me help you get started today. Can I help you get started today? Come on, say this earlier. Say, I call in healing. I call in wholeness, restoration, freedom, deliverance. I call in strength, energy, vitality, my youth being renewed. Say, I call in confidence, our courage, ability. Say, I call in blessings, favor, promotion, abundance. I call in that business in the name of Jesus. That property, I call it in. That house I've been dreaming about, I call it in. I call in a spouse. I call in that baby. I call in the children that are off course. Say, I call in a fresh anointing, a fresh vision for my life in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, I believe like Joshua and Caleb, I declare you're about to enter into your promised land. Get ready, because what you're calling in, I declare it's on the way. That business is on the way. That abundance is on the way. That healing is on the way. That freedom is on the way. Come on, do you believe it today? Give God some praise. Give him some praise. Say, I call it in the name of Jesus. Did you get something out of this today? I don't know about you, but I did. Call it in. Call in what God has said about you, what God has spoken. Agree with him and call those in. Don't call the things what you feel. Don't call in what you feel. Call in what God says. Even though it may not seem that way, if you keep calling it, it'll come. God calls into being things that don't exist, and we've got the same spirit of faith. You've got to speak out what you believe. You've got to call those blessings, call that favor, call that freedom in Jesus' name. You get it today? Wonderful. Praise the Lord. I want to pray for you. Why don't you bow your head for a moment? Thank you, Rick. Why don't you just bow your heads for a moment? I want to pray, Lord, I thank you for every person that is here this morning, Lord. I thank you that you have a great destiny and you have a great plan for every person's life, and I call it in. I speak it over them. I declare that your will be done in their life. I declare that the destiny and the plan that you have for each and every person, it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. I call in blessings for you. I call in favor for you. I call in healing for you. I call in freedom for you. I call in victory for you. I call in peace and wisdom for you. I call in strength for you in the name of Jesus. Now listen, I'm going to ask you just to bow your head for a moment and just close your eyes, because I want to pray right now. I want to pray, especially if there's anyone that is here this morning. If you are not sure where you stand with God today, if you are not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord today, I want to pray for you. I want to ask you a question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? You're absolutely certain about it. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God, but I'm not absolutely certain about it. I can't say that I know for sure. Let me tell you the good news. The good news is you can be sure about that. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right and all is well between you and God. You can walk out of here today knowing that every mistake and every sin you ever committed in your life is forgiven and washed away. You can walk out of here today knowing for sure that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but just right where you're sitting, while eyes are closed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, maybe you say, Pastor Steve, you know, I used to know the Lord. I used to follow him, but I've drifted away. And today I want to recommit my life to him. If you, any of those things, if you want to make sure that all is right with you and God, if you want to make sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. If you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, I want to pray for you. I want you right now, quickly, to just lift your hand up high. Lift your hand up. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me. Just lift your hand. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer today. Pray for me this morning. Thank you, Lord. All right, Pam. All righty. Praise the Lord. Look up at me for a moment, if you would, everybody. Praise God. I'm going to be receiving the offering today. And over December, you know, we started celebrating Christmas. We decided to start today, the 1st of December. Merry Christmas. We're going to celebrate Christmas the whole month of December. And we got a lot of things happening I'm going to tell you about in a moment. But what we do at the end of the year, we are going to be receiving our Heart for the House Christmas offering during the month of December. And I want to just read two scriptures to you really, really quickly. The first one is in Psalm 69, verse 9. David wrote this. He said, "Passion for your house has consumed me, and the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Passion for your house has consumed me, and the insults of those who insulted you have fallen on me." David was actually prophesying about Jesus, because in John chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible says that the disciples remembered the prophecy that was written. Passion for God's house will consume me. Jesus was passionate about God's house. And David was actually prophesying about Jesus' passion for God's house. But David also had a great passion for the house of God. In fact, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, the Bible says that David said this. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 3. Are you listening to me? David said, "Because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver. I am donating more than 112 tons of gold from Ophrah and 262 tons of refined silver. Now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today?" David said, "Because of my devotion to the house of God, I am giving all of my own private treasures." And David gave 112 tons of gold, all that he had. Do you know how much 112 tons of gold is worth today? Well, I went and looked it up. It's pretty easy. A ton of gold is 1 ton of gold is $46.5 million. To buy a ton of gold, just in case any of you were thinking about buying me a ton of gold for Christmas. I mean, David had 112 tons. Couldn't Pastor Steve get one? Anyway, a ton of gold is $46.5 million. So 112 tons, for all those who are good at math, is $5 billion. It's $5.2 billion. Just the gold David gave from his own private, he emptied out his bank account. And he gave, the gold was $5 billion. Now, why did David give all of his personal wealth, $5 billion, to the Lord? I want you to notice, David gave it to the Lord. When you come to church and you give and you put in the offering, please understand, you need to be giving it to the Lord, not to Steve. Because Steve can't bless you, but God can. Are you with me? I'm the messenger. That's it. So I want to encourage you today. Like David had such a passion for the house of God. How many of you thank God you're grateful for this church? Is there anyone who's grateful? Anyone grateful for this church? Well, we are grateful for you. And if you are grateful for the church, which I know you are, I'm asking you during the month of December, I'm asking you to prayerfully consider giving a significant offering, a Heart for the House Christmas offering to the Lord during the month of December. We believe in God over this. We've got some things that we have to do in this church. There's some things that need to be done. And so what I'm asking you to do in the month of December is to consider giving something over and above what you normally would do, your normal tithes and offerings, doing something special like David did. Like David said, Lord, because of my devotion to your house, I'm giving all of my private treasures of gold, 112 tons. Then he said, who will follow my example? Who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? That's my question to you. Will you follow David's example? Will you have a passion for the house of God? Will you be a blessing and help the house of God and give to the Lord? When you give to the Lord and help God's house, let me tell you, you can never outgive God. One thing you got to know this, you can never outgive God. God is no man's debtor. That means whatever you give to God, Jesus said, when you give, it's going to be given back to you. God will cause men to give back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In other words, when you give to God, God always gives much more back to you. In fact, the Bible talks about giving and receiving 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Jesus said, if those who have given up houses and lands and for my sake and the gospel, he said they will receive 100 times as much in this life. Now, all I'm telling you is that when you give to God, God's going to give back to you. God is he can give you one business deal. I mean, like my daughter Courtney, who's 27, her and her husband Sam, her husband, is they're the campus pastors for Hillsong in Los Angeles. And they were doing a heart for the house offering at their church. And so Courtney and Sam decided they were going to give an offering for heart for the house that was bigger than anything they'd ever done before. I mean, it was thousands of dollars. She didn't tell me exactly, but it was a big offering. And they were kind of a little bit, you know, it was a bit of a step of faith to give this large amount. So they gave this big offering for heart for the house. And do you know that just the next week, in fact, within that week, she got one deal in her business. My daughter Courtney has her own business. It's social media. And she got one client that more than paid up for everything that they'd given into the Heart for the House offering. It paid up in just one client. Let me tell you, God can bring you one client. God can open one door. God can give you a promotion. God can, like Tom Cartwright was sitting on his porch looking at his palm trees, and God gave him an idea to make a fan blade that looked like a palm leaf. He never made a fan blade, didn't know anything about fan blades. Long story short, God led him into the right people. He ended up producing the fan blade that looks like a palm leaf. It became the biggest selling fan blade in the history of the industry. Made millions of dollars. Just one idea. Let me tell you, God can give you just one idea. God can lead you to just one person. God can open just one door. God will bless you. Jesus said, when you seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added to you. God never takes from you. God always adds to you. Amen. So we're asking you over December, during the month of December, to prayerfully please consider giving something significant, giving something for our heart for the house Christmas offering this year. Thank you for your faithfulness. I'm going to ask somebody to please hand me an offering envelope. Jill, please hand me that offering envelope. We have the envelopes in the seat, but hand me the green one. There's two different ones. There's the red. Thank you, Stacy. Here's the thank you. This is the regular envelope to use for your offering, the red one. But if you're giving toward the Heart for the House, we've got the special green printed, got green print Heart for the House Christmas offering. Please use these envelopes. You can give various ways, by check, by card. You can give online. You can give by text. There's a number of different ways that you can give. We're going to pray right now. Come on, let's pray right now. Will you hold your offering in your hand? Is anyone ready here to give? All the givers said amen. Anyone here believe in giving today? Any givers here today? Any joyful, cheerful givers here today? Can I hear you today? Can I hear all the joyful givers say amen? Amen. Come on, let's trust God. Hold that in your hand. Father, I thank you for the faithful giving of your people, Lord. And I know that, Lord, you delight in our giving. Your word tells us that tithing is the way that we show that you are first in our life. And Lord Jesus, you are passionate about the house of God. And David was passionate about the house of God. And David gave that huge, huge offering, 112 tons of gold, because he was so devoted to the house of God. Lord, I thank you for the generosity of the members of Ascend Church. I thank you for speaking to people's hearts over December. And I thank you, Lord, that as they give, you promised that you would cause people to give back to them. I thank you, Lord, that giving causes blessing. I thank you for blessing every giver. You said the liberal soul will be made rich. I thank you, Lord, for blessing, for opening the windows of heaven, and for pouring blessing upon your people. The blessings are chasing us down, Lord. And I thank you for bringing increase, Lord, and we give you all the praise and all the glory, all the honor in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen and amen. Ushers, can you go ahead and collect that today? We want to just mention we've got a lot of things happening over Christmas, don't we? And please don't forget, hold on, I'm going to hand over to you now. Don't forget this little invite card. We're giving these out so you can invite someone to Christmas, right, over Christmas.
I have to keep checking to see what's coming up next. We've got a lot of good things going on. First of all, today, a good thing you came looking so good. We've got a photo op. We're going to do it right here. We've got a couple of different Christmas backgrounds. And Dolores is a fabulous photographer.
Can you put one of those backgrounds on the background?
Well,
Is that one of them?
We got a couple of
others. We got three different backdrops for you to pick from. One summer, one winter. And you're going to come stand up here, and we're going to take your picture that you can use for your Christmas card. It'll come up in a sec.
Right. So be sure to come and do that as soon as service ends. Also, we had a number of, it's actually turned out to be all ladies, but ladies in our church that make various things, sell various things. And we asked them to just set up in the lobby today, maybe make your Christmas shopping a little easier, support people in our church. It's wonderful stuff out there. Take a moment and take a look at what's out there and support them. And then also coming up next this week.
Friday.
On Friday night.
Friday night.
We're having a family movie night right here.
A Christmas movie night.
Christmas movie. So it's for the kids, for the adults. We're going to have popcorn and ice cream sundaes and hot chocolate, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
How many's coming to the movie night? Can I just wave at me if you're going to come join us? Wave at me.
Come and bring
wave
your
at
kids.
Me.
Come on.
We want to encourage you to come to the movie night. Listen, this is a time of fun. Doesn't matter what someone said. What's the movie? Doesn't matter what the movie is. You've probably seen it, but it's about the fellowship and the fun and having ice cream sundaes and just having a fun time. So, bring the kids. Come on Friday night. We're going to have a lot of fun here watching the movie.
And then Sunday. This coming Sunday on the 8th will be our Christmas Around the World potluck dinner. And there we have some amazing cooks and bakers in our church. And we ask you now.
So is that next Sunday?
That's next Sunday.
Next Sunday is the potluck lunch.
Yes.
So everyone's got to bring a dish from their culture. We're going to have tables set in the lobby. And we're going to have we're going to enjoy a potluck from around the world.
It's going to be amazing. However, do us a favor and sign up outside. It really makes it easier on us as we plan that you write down what you're bringing. That way we know, you know, we've got appetizers, entrees, desserts, what have you. So just on your way out, there's a number of sign-ups. It's these clipboards for the different things that are going on in the next few weeks. And also our dinner tickets.
Mention the,
we have a
the
Christmas dinner. I'm just telling you
Christmas
the next
Christmas dinner party
is going to be on
December. It's going to be a party.
11th. Yeah, you know.
It's going to be a party.
You hear
we've got Rick. We've got our band. We're going to have music. We may bring your dancing shoes. We may let you dance a little bit here.
And that's we're going to set up in here. It's going to be beautiful.
We're going to have tables and chairs. We're going to cater. We've got people bringing desserts.
I want to say something.
Go ahead. I've got to say it fast, though. If anything.
December 11th, the Christmas dinner. It's $20 a head. We're catering food, which is really hard to do on $20, but it's going to be a miracle. Multiply the food.
We want to keep it as cheap as we can so everyone can
come. But do us
a
favor and go and write your name down and pay for it so that we can make some plans.
Absolutely.
Thank you for doing that. Right.
Absolutely. Don't miss the dinner. We're going to honor all our servant leaders, our volunteers. We're going to have a lot of fun. How many chances do we get to all get together and have dinner? Thank you for your great enthusiasm this morning. How many chances do we have to get together and have dinner together? So come and have dinner with us. $20. Give me a break. $20, man. You can. Mickey D's is almost 10. So get your ticket and come and have fun at our Christmas dinner. That's on Wednesday, December the 11th. Amen. Stand up with us today as we go this morning. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Tell them Merry Christmas. Amen. God bless you. What are we going out singing today? What are we going to sing?
Raise a hallelujah.
Raise a hallelujah. Come on, get us started. I raise a hallelujah today. I raise a hallelujah. We're going to sing that as we go this morning. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, today for all your promises you've given us in your word. Thank you, Lord, that we've got the same spirit of faith and that you tell us we must call those blessings and call those promises in. So we do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We raise a hallelujah today. Amen. Amen. Come on, Leslie, sing us out this morning.
I raise a hallelujah.
Raise a hallelujah, Lord.
In the presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah. Louder than the unbelief, I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody.